The word why, what a curious word. The kind of word that can make us cringe, feel defensive, or even distant. But you know, sometimes why is the key. The key that can unlock so much to our lives. Join me as we explore the why with fascinating contributors to the world. Those that entertain us, inform us, teach us about life, and if we're lucky, inspire the next in all of us. I'm your host, Dr. Rod Berger. And welcome to Headroom, a production of Rainlight and co-produced by Old Soul. Let's go.
Well, I love the power of story, as all of you know. And sometimes story comes to you with an idea, with something that you read. And sometimes it comes via trains, planes, and automobiles. A few weeks ago, I was boarding a flight out of Tampa back home here to Nashville. And my next guest was there with her husband and children, and that's Jesse James Decker, her husband Eric Decker, for the sports fans out there, the wide receiver that had an awesome career, an incredibly nice guy. And I was chatting with Jesse, and I said, you know what, I'm building out my editorial calendar here, and I'd love to learn more about you and what you're doing. And so I'm really looking forward to this sort of, you know, this interview that's going to go in a lot of different directions, because I think Jesse represents and epitomizes the entrepreneur in the 21st century, and especially a female entrepreneur that is really juggling it all and doing it quite successfully. So let me give you the formal intro to Jesse. So singer, songwriter, TV personality, fashion designer, beauty and lifestyle influencer and entrepreneur, and two-time New York Times bestselling author. Jesse has emerged as a multi-platform juggernaut, juggling fashion brands like her personally designed Kittenish line with four retail stores and growing, along with her television hosting duties. She signed to Warner Music Nashville as well. Jesse's passion for music has made the multi-talented artist one of music's true breakout fire brands. The singer's authentic style immediately captivated listeners everywhere on her 2009 self-titled debut. She continued to keep it real with her second studio album, 2017 Southern Girl City Lights, which debuted at number one on Billboard's Top Country Albums chart. Now it's on to her new musical chapter of growth and empowerment with The Woman I've Become EP. This year, Jesse was a fan favorite, competing on the most recent season of Dancing with the Stars, proving that you can, Jesse, really do it. Okay, so here's what I want to talk about. One of the many things. I think it's fascinating in entrepreneurs. We both have young kids. We're talking about that off air. They're growing up, understanding the concept of brand. They know the word entrepreneur. And I'll speak for myself. Growing up, never heard of the word when I was a young kid. That just wasn't really the way it was. If someone owned a business, a parent, it was like they had the hardware store, or they maybe were an accountant, but they had their own shingle.
Yeah.
Was this always the plan for you? I mean, sort of, I know it's easy to say now, but when you were in high school, I've got a vision that I want to be doing a lot of different things, not maybe just one thing. Tell me about the original plan.
The original plan was always to be a singer-songwriter.
It was.
Some music artist at Nashville. That's what I always wanted to do as early as I can remember. I was obsessed with playing at the Grand Ole Opry and moving to Nashville and, you know, I wanted to be a country artist, a well-known country artist. I never thought in a million years I would be making cookbooks. I'm working on finished my third, which will be out in October. Never thought I would be making cookbooks at all. Didn't have an interest in cooking when I was younger. Of course, most kids don't. But I did have an idea that I would be in fashion. I did feel like that was something I knew was going to happen. I was designing clothes in math class when I should have been focusing and sketching outfits.
The truth comes out, Jesse.
It does. But it stemmed from things that I wanted to wear while I was performing them. So it was all based for music. But I remember watching the movie Selena, and Selena was a singer, songwriter, entertainer, but also was a designer of clothes and had her own store and business. And so I just thought if Selena could do it, I could do it too. And then Jennifer Lopez came out and she had all these entrepreneurial things that she did. She's making perfume, clothes. And I also felt inspired by her and thought, well, if she could do it, I could do it too.
And so at what point did you realize you could do it? Because a lot of kids have dreams. I mean, look, just even in the athletic field, right? I mean, you're obviously very well connected, given Eric's career. A lot of kids have these aspirations that they can do that. But then reality sets in and we kind of figure out maybe where our talents lie. Mm-hmm. Were there a couple of bumps on the road that you said to yourself, all right, I may have wanted to do X, but you know what? It's pushing me into this other lane. How have you handled those? Even though on paper, it looks like it's hard to argue that you've had any really sort of classic failures.
Such a loaded question. I mean, I could go in so many directions with that question. You know, I always reference this movie Under the Tuscan Sun as a part of my journey. And the reason I reference it is because Diane's character, Frances, she's moved to Italy and she has this house and she's crying and she's emotional to one of her friends saying, you know, I want a wedding at this house. I want a baby at this house. I want to be able to cook for people. I want to be able to, you know, she names all these things that she wants to do. And she's complaining that it hasn't happened, but then it actually does happen, but just in a different way. She ends up cooking for the workers that are helping her renovate this house. Her best friend comes from America and ends up having a baby at her house. She ends up hosting, she goes, I want a wedding at this house. One of the workers ends up having a wedding at the house. So I always use that example as my dreams have come true just in a different way, in a way that I didn't expect them to come true. And I think that going back to your original question as to why I felt I could do it, I had a really amazing mother. And my mother she believed in me. She still does, of course, but she believed in me. She made me feel like I could do anything, even if it was the craziest, most outrageous idea you could imagine. She would always say, then do it. You can do it. Why not? Anything's possible. And I think having that sort of support was huge, huge to my childhood and to my career. And still to this day, I could call her and tell her I want to start some kind of business. And she'd be like, all right, well, how are you going to do it? You know? And so I think she's made me feel like I could do anything. And she was my biggest and number one supporter. But yeah, I've had an interesting career, and there's moments, I'm human, where I wake up and I wish things would have worked out a certain way, but I also have so many blessings. You know, I'll give you an example. I was really disappointed that I wasn't nominated for any country music awards this season. And I really felt like I was, you know, worth that. I felt like I could have and almost felt like I should have. And I didn't get nominated for anything. And I was really sad and I was crying and was disappointed. And I just feel like I never feel accepted in that world. But the next day I teased my cookbook and I had 10,000 comments on a post, and my book doesn't even have a cover. And it was the number one book on Amazon charts the next day. And I shook myself right out of it and just said, you know what? I need to be so grateful for the blessings that I have and not focus on what I don't.
That's what's fascinating about being an entrepreneur, and one that is in a very public domain like you are, is that you live in a world that's unplanned. There's no real blueprint. Yeah. And I think a challenge for people, I'd love your perspective, is that sometimes it's hard to define what success is or at what point in life. Like something now might feel successful, whereas 10 years ago, it might not have pinged the meter for you. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the unknown? And do you get a little bit better about creating the world underneath your feet so that you feel stable without feeling like you're on the edge of the volcano?
You know, I used to obsess over planning and what was coming next. And I would anticipate the next day and the day after that. And I think now I've done such a good job of I don't have control over what tomorrow holds, but I have control over the now and today. And I don't want the unknown to affect my joy and my happiness. And when you really think about, you know, where we're at in life, I think I'm healthy and I have three healthy children and I have a marriage. And if you focus on the good, I really do feel like everything kind of falls into place. And so I take things as they come my way. I work really hard. I put my family first, and I truly feel like everything balances itself out because of that. And it's my perspective. You wake up and today's going to be a good day.
Is it hard when you are in the public domain to deal with pressure or feeling like you have to come up with the next hit song, the next opening of another kitten store? Like, because other people can sort of, you can sort of lay in the weeds, right? No one needs to really know whether or not you're trying to grow or not. But when you're doing things that are public, it sort of feels like if you don't have something new and fresh that next day, that can put some undue pressure. Is that true? Have you found that you've gotten stronger through the years? Have you leaned on your sort of just as spouses on each other to be able to say, look, we've both been in the public here?
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
No, it's not. I do think it is hard when you do have to sit back and think, okay, what am I going to make next? What's the next song? And I think, you know, for me, I have to take a seat back and go, let's not think about it as a business or as writing a songs. We just have to write a hit. Like, I do feel like in this day and age, we're always thinking about, like I say, like the machine of it all. Like, okay, I need to write a hit today. It's like, well, but you're taking the emotion and the heart out of it. Why don't you write how your heart is feeling today? And those are the songs that end up really being the biggest ones, or the ideas when it feels personal. And so I do feel like we're always in this rat race and in America, and that's why we're so successful. But I do think sometimes people forget to put their heart in things. And so I always try to take a seat back going, I need to make sure my heart is in play, or what's the point of doing this?
And so many people think, I think historically, of country music, that it can come from pain, right? It's storytelling, and it's, I think, in a very generalized format. And so it's almost like you've got to have some of those real life experiences, I would think, to pull from, to be inspired, mm-hmm. so that even when you have rough times, you can kind of go, this might spur on the next great song.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think to that point, sometimes it's hard for me specifically because I do have such a public marriage and relationship that, you know, my last record had some breakup heartache songs in there that had nothing to do with me, but they were just songs that I thought were beautiful and had such a great message. But I all of a sudden get people going, what's this about? Is this about you? What's going on? You know, I can't just sing about other people's pain, you know, and sometimes as an artist, you want to be the voice for them, even if it's not your own voice. So sometimes that can be a challenge.
Do you think of yourself as first an artist, as a designer, as an entrepreneur? Like, how do you think of yourself if you have to put yourself out there to a group that may or may not know, in essence, who you are or what you've achieved?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is I'm an entertainer. You know, I'm all of it. When I first got started, I've always, and since I was 2 years old, I'm a singer. I mean, I have a little thing my mom got printed for me that when I was in school, it said, when I grow up, what do you want to be? And I wrote, I a singer. And I spelled it, because I had a really strong accent when I was younger, S-A-N-G-E-R, singer. That's the way I've always identified, as an artist, a singer. But I think as time has gone by and people ask, what do you do? I say, I'm an entertainer.
Let's talk a little bit about being a female entrepreneur. You know, when you look at the stats and the number of females that are invested in their ideas, their innovation, their businesses, it is terribly low. Mm-hmm. What kind of responsibility do you feel as a mom, as a community member, as a member of the female entrepreneurship sort of community out there that says, not only do I want to succeed for my dreams, but I also know that there are others that are watching that can be inspired, especially young girls. So talk a little bit about that, because sometimes I think it's easy to sort of push that to the side, but I think we also need the reality of what's out there, that if funding isn't there, that may mean that in principle, you have to work twice as hard than maybe I would if I decided to open up something similar. Now, I'm not going to bring out a cookbook or sing, so you're all good there, Jesse, but just talk a little bit about that just as a woman.
As a woman, I do think that it's getting better, but it is hard. I think sometimes the stigma of like having to choose is what I have a hard time with. Of people thinking you have to choose the role you're going to play as a woman. And my answer to that is you can do both. You know, you can run a business and you can also have children. I think to me, that's what I've noticed the hardest thing is for a lot of female entrepreneurs, is feeling like, I've had many conversations with friends who are not married and don't have children by choice, but saying like, I want to get my career started. Like I want to work hard, because if I don't, then I won't be taken seriously if I start having babies. I had a good friend of mine that works here in Nashville at a massive company, and she has held off getting pregnant for so long. She was afraid that she'd lose her job. And so for me, I think that the example I want to share as an entrepreneur is you can do both. You know, I got up this morning with the kids and I made muffins for their school, for all the teachers and the front staff. homemade blueberry muffins. And then I came here and I'm having a conversation with you. And then I've got some other phone calls that I've got to do for a brand endorsement. It's like, you can do both. And I want women to know that you can.
Headroom is produced by Old Soul, a one-stop marketing agency that understands the power of brand and nuance. Reach out to my guy, Matt, at Old Soul and supercharge your brand and content strategy. That's Old Soul. Shoot Matt a note at aoldsoul.com. That's aoldsoul.com. And now back to our guest.
And talk about the pressure, though, of being a visual representation, right? Because sadly, we still are in a world where women, it's equated with beauty, and that there is an expiration date on that.
Yeah.
And that I feel that myself. You do.
I do in country music. I'm like, I'll be 35 soon. I mean, this is like, you know, I do think it will probably always be that way. I mean, I'd like for it to not, but I just think it'll always be that way.
So how do you guard against that? Because it is challenging, because you'll see, you know, I've interviewed plenty of women who have to lean all the way into that, and they know it, that their looks right at that moment in time are helping to fuel their revenue and the different interests that they have. But there's the dark side of that, or the potential that, to your point, like your friend who's saying, I'm going to hold off, you know, starting a family or family planning because I want to be taken seriously. It feels like you have to thread a needle unfairly.
Yeah. And I think that all of that is hard. I don't know. I do things in a really weird way where I think that, you know, I'm all about energy and putting things, saying these words to almost change the tone. So if you keep saying that it's a problem, it's going to be a problem. But if you sit back and go, I don't care that I'm 35 and I'm still in country music, I'm still rocking it. It means I just got that much more wisdom. If you're worried about that, then that's your problem, but I'm not. You got to change the tone. You got to change the energy. And so for me, let's stop saying it's a problem and start making it sound like it's a positive solution. And it'll start tricking everyone's brain into thinking differently. But that's how I do things.
Now, that came, obviously, your mom is a big influence in your life. So what about education in general? Were there moments growing up where you did have role models that were sort of, that you learned about, that you were exposed to, that said, because yes, you want to have your parent that's endorsing you, that's there as a backstop, right, from a confidence perspective, yeah, that you can do that. But then there are also life experiences or things that we learn that say, you know what, there are other women out there doing it, and or there are other country stars that are doing it.
Yeah.
And I can lean fully into that and do that authentically.
Jennifer Lopez was a big one for me. She really was, because she did it all. She has done everything under the sun. And if you've watched her documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
She's one of the
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. She's one of the most powerful entertainers of our generation, and she still feels like she doesn't get the credit where she deserves because she does too much. And I feel so inspired by her and have always felt inspired by her. She is such a hustler, and she works her butt off, and she's an entrepreneur, and she wants to act. She wants to sing. She wants to make things. She can do anything she wants, and she set her mind to it, and she still doesn't feel like she's made it. And I just feel like it's that hunger that she'll always have. And I think you got to just have that hunger. But she was always someone I've looked up to, and I still look up to her today, because she makes me feel like I can have all these dreams and do it too, even though I still get told in my own business here, my own, you know, field, well, she has her hands in too many things. We don't think she takes this seriously, which is unfair. We're trying to lift each other up and change the conversation. And I'm still feeling as if I am, you know, getting my hand slapped for doing too much. Doesn't make sense.
I was going to ask you that, like, how do you know, for a lot of entrepreneurs, like ones that are just graduating, whether it's from Vanderbilt or some, you know, locally, when they get out there and they have an idea, it's how do you prioritize? And if you are good at a lot of different things, and I think people are, they've got a lot of talents, and you're just expressing them in public ways. How do you do that? I mean, do you have, like, what's your creative process?
I like to compartmentalize for sure and give my energy to things that need, you know, my focus at that time. So as far like my cookbook, I needed to really finish that. And I told everyone on my team, like, I can't really be bothered with X, Y, and Z. I need to really focus on this. So I'd wake up every morning and I'd have my coffee and my bed and my laptop, and I would keeping for me, I my cookbooks are one of the hardest things for me to do because it's very studious. It's very, I feel like I'm in school again. So I'm having to remember all these recipes because I do everything by touch and feel. I don't remember if it's a tablespoon or a teaspoon or
it's under the Tuscan sun, right? It's
yes, I don't know. So for me, I just kind of, that's a tough one, but I'm getting off subject here, but for me, I have to explain to everyone, I need to focus. I need to, you know, if I'm making a record, don't bother me with this. When I did Dancing with the Stars, do not bother me with anything else. I need to focus on this right now because I don't want my energy full to just dwindle down.
Are you good at that? I mean, I just wonder, talking to so many people that are creative, they might have different endeavors, but the pacing, the timing of things, like if you're writing a song that takes like, you know, when you say like a day is long or that day went by really quickly, even in the creative process, if you were writing, it can feel different. You need a different environment than if you were doing something with one of your stores. I would think there's a different rhythm to that. Do you find that it's a little bit like playing jazz, that you got to kind of know what you're playing with in that day to be successful so that you don't either completely just sort of railroad one of your efforts because you just got into a zone?
For sure. And I get into a lot of zones. I'm ADD and that's the truth. And so it's been a blessing and a curse. I can juggle about 20 different things in my head and kind of dip into each office that they're working on. There's, you know, I got my book office, I got my kittenish office. I have all these little offices working on their little things and I can jump around. But there are times when I know, okay, I'm on my way to a kittenish design meeting. I need to not think about these emails coming in regarding these songs and the production because I need to make sure I stay on path. So I've had to work really hard to teach myself to not get off task, not get distracted, because then I'll use up all my energy and all my brain power and that's not good for anybody.
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs that struggle to delegate? Because it sounds like you have to be able to do that. Otherwise, you would not be able to pursue all of these different endeavors.
I write down every thought that comes to my head so I don't forget it, because I'm extremely ADD and I can walk from one room to the other and completely forget about what I was just doing. And so I'm a big notes taker. I have my notes out on my phone and I write down every note, reminders, things that I need to do in the next morning. I'm also one of those people that takes charge and the lead on a lot of things, anything from a friend's baby shower to a birthday party. In my house, we call it the clapper starter, the person that starts clapping first. I'm the clapper starter. And so I've always got to make sure I'm on top of it. So I make notes, but I also have someone in my life that helps me. I have an assistant who is my right hand woman, and she keeps me on task and helps remind me. So I would say, don't be afraid to ask for help. That way you can still work your magic, because if you have to be both people in your head, it can kind of deflate the magic part of you.
Have you thought or given thought to, let's say Kittenish explodes and you go from 4 stores to 50 just for kicks?
Yeah.
Does that mean then you have to sort of prune the classic rose bush and say, I can't do everything, I've got to now devote 80% of my time to being head of this brand? I mean, how do you understand that and then measure sort of what the goals are? Because you are, I mean, you're a type A personality, you're going for it, right? Which I think people can celebrate and acknowledge is really great for an entrepreneur. But man, one of these hits even bigger than you ever thought.
Yeah.
Do you have to give up something, or is that just, that's a good problem to have?
I think it's what you said. It's a good problem to have. If that were to happen, what a dream come true. And I embrace it. Does it mean I give up the other things that I love? But I do think when something like that happens, you have to give it your attention because the universe brought it. That's what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Let's put a close on with this. Let's talk a little bit about brand. And I think there's a difference between being associated with a brand and living a brand. And when you have someone who is, it's all based on it, it's you.
Yeah.
Just talk about that relationship. Not that it's like a person, but it's, you know, can you turn it off? Do you know when you have to turn it on? Like, how has that sort of evolved over time where you feel really comfortable in that and what it represents? Because I think we go through these different chapters in life where I might have been gung-ho 15 years ago about one thing. Mm-hmm. And that starts to change and evolve. But yet if I put a stake in the ground and said, that's my brand, that can create some inner conflict. Talk a little bit about relationship that you have with your signature, because I know your signature is on everything, sort of, you know, you're John Hancock in that regard. Talk a little bit about your relationship to your own brand.
You mean with Kittenish or just like as a person?
Yeah, as a person, because it's Jesse James Decker. I mean, even the way it's presented, I mean, it's very well done, but it's, I mean, it's 24/7 in that manner. I would think that there is a, for some people it could be a love hate. For some people it is empowering, but mm-hmm. I think that more and more entrepreneurs are understanding that it's not maybe what you sell, but it's actually you that people are buying.
It is that way for sure. And I think I learned that from doing the reality show, because before you're a little bit more untouchable. You're an artist. There's a huge barrier. But I, as soon as I did a reality show, I learned quickly. It was me at this point. It wasn't the music I was making. They were buying me, and they wanted to get to know me and everything I was doing as a person. And I think, you know, that's when everything really started to explode, and I was able to build this brand because people wanted what I had to offer. And so, and I wanted to use it to good. So I wanted to make clothes that made people feel beautiful. I wanted to make music that made them feel something. I wanted to create recipes that maybe could help a woman whose mama didn't maybe cook in the kitchen. She wants to learn how to make a chicken casserole for her family and watch those babies take those bites and enjoy it. So I wanted to do it for good. But I think, does it ever turn off? I think that living in Nashville has been an amazing blessing because there's so many people in this business, so much bigger than me, and people around here are used to it and they don't care. And so you get to feel normal, and that's what feels good to me. You know, as someone that's in this business, maintaining normalcy, it's not because I'm trying to maintain normalcy. That's just what feels natural and feels good to me and my husband. We're very blessed and we're grateful, and we get to do exciting things that I only dreamt of as a little girl. But we still go to the Waffle House and we still fly Southwest and we still do normal stuff, because that's what we want to do. And that's what keeps us, you know, makes us feel like we're not far off from who we were before all this began. And it just feels good to us. And so, I think I answered your question.
I think you did. Absolutely. I mean, I think it provides, I think, a canvas for people to understand that we can get so focused on the pursuit as an entrepreneur mm-hmm. that we can lose relationships, our connection to community, mm-hmm. you know, and that you kind of end up on the other side saying, was it worth it? Is this really what I wanted to do? And that can be a challenge for entrepreneurs, because you have a dream, but you end up doing the operational things and you say, I didn't sign up for this. I wanted to be creative.
Yeah. I think that when it starts to turn into a heartless, emotionless machine, you have to sit back and go, is this really what I wanted to do? I wanted to do it because I was passionate about something. And I always say, as soon as your heart falls out of it, I just don't know that it's it anymore, or you got to figure out a way to put it back in there, because that's why we all got started. We all were little kids dreaming of something, and you can't lose that little kid. You got to keep your heart and soul into this, or you're just going to lose yourself. And what's the point of that? At the end of the day, you just want to know you had people that loved you, and not that you made a lot of money. I think you got to put things into perspective. And Eric and I try to do that every day.
Well, I can vouch for it. I saw you on Southwest Airlines and you were as normal gets. and I think that your energy is infectious, and it's why probably people follow you, not just from your singing career, but your cookbooks, your shows, all of that. I think that's important for people to see all sides of a human, and one that's being very successful in their pursuits and going after their dreams, not just because you can do it, it's because you want to do it. I want to make sure people can find you. Where are the best places that they should go to learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, you can search obviously on Instagram. I'm pretty active on there, Jesse James Decker, J-E-S-S-I-E. And my website is jessejamesdecker.com, where I keep most of my music stuff updated on there. And then my brand, Kittenish, Kittenish.com.
Well, keep being you. It was great to spend some time with you. I appreciate your authenticity and your willingness to talk about a number of different things in your pursuits. We want to thank Jesse James Decker. I'm your host, Dr. Rod Berger.
Thanks for taking the plunge into Headroom, where we uncover the why behind the what and who impacting our lives. Headroom is a production of Rainlight and co-produced by our friends at Old Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Headroom.